Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every sickness in your body was laid on Christ, just like every sin that you ever thought or ever committed or ever born with was laid on Christ. He took it all to the cross. 1 Peter, New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who hath his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. You may be seated. There is no truth in the Bible more emphatically declared than this truth, that Jesus Christ is not only our Savior, but he is our healer. Healing is for the believer. If you're a believer, you're supposed to be in divine health. Healing is inextricably woven into the garment of salvation. You can't separate it. Isaiah equates it with the forgiveness of our transgressions and the blotting out of our iniquities, making it as accessible as redemption itself. In other words, just as sure as you got saved, God wants to be your healer. Peter refers to healing as available, as a departure from our sins, and as possible as receiving God's righteousness. And when you come to Christ through his blood, that happens. There is a departure of your sins. The Bible calls it the remission of sins. You know what that means? That means it's going farther from you every day. Your sins are not hanging around. Every day they're a little farther from you. They're in remission. That means you're getting better and farther removed from them. And the Bible teaches us not by our own righteousness, but we have received the righteousness of Christ. That's salvation. Isaiah refers to healing as a present experience. He said, ye are healed. While Peter makes it retrospective as the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and ye were healed. So Peter said, ye were healed. And Isaiah said, ye are healed. It covers all time, from what was, what is, and which is to be. Friend, if you will grasp the truth of healing, you can kill things that are hereditary in your family. Ye were healed. You can kill the pain and the malfunction that's in your body now, and you can reach into the future and kill anything that's about to come upon you. That's the healing virtue of Christ. I would declare to you that tonight, someone, today, tonight, is the moment of your healing. Somebody watching this telecast, somebody sitting in this building, God is going to heal you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Why are so many Christians in need of healing if this is part of the atonement? Why are they still in need of healing? For one reason, so many preachers are misguided, uninformed, don't know the scripture, and don't have faith enough to grasp it. And so they are peddlers of the doubt doctrine. They are faith killers. They are healing tragedies because they simply don't believe the word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, the word of God is true. By his stripes ye were healed. It's already been done. By his stripes ye are healed. He is presently going to manifest it in the name of Jesus Christ. There are obstacles and barriers to overcome, just as the woman with the issue of blood had to deal with, just as Bartimaeus had to overcome. Why? Because just as Satan wants us lost or dead, Satan wants you to be lost, he wants you to be dead. And when you follow through with that process, he wants you to be sick. If he can't kill you, he at least wants to make you sick. He wants to limit you. That's just exactly what Satan wants. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. He wants to steal from you. He wants to steal your health. Because when he steals your health, it limits what you can do in this world for Christ. Conversely, if Jesus wants us saved, and the Bible said that it does, Jesus said, I have come that thou might have life and you might have it more abundantly. And so if Jesus Christ wants us to have life and abundant life, he wants us not only to be saved, but he wants us divinely healthy. That's the will of God. David introduces us to the perfect will of God for his people in this verse. I love this verse. I don't remember ever sharing it in this pulpit, but I've shared it across the country. But I love this verse. And don't think I've ever shared it with you, but I want to share it tonight because it's a major verse. I've got so much more I want to share before I go to see Jesus Christ, and I'm running out of tomorrows. But let me share this with you right now. God is talking about Israel coming out of the slavery in Egypt, and that is a type of you coming out of sin. You were once a slave to sin, but you've come out. And so when Jesus Christ, when the Lord God Almighty brought the Israelis out of slavery, out of Egypt, the Bible said in Psalm 105, verse 37, a powerful verse, he brought them forth also with silver and gold. And you don't believe in prosperity? Friend, God wants to take care of your bills, your needs, your wants, your desires. He brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. You talk about divine health. I'll tell you, whether we accomplish it or not, the will of God is when this service ends and we walk out those doors around this auditorium, that every one of us would not be feeble or sick or ill or in pain, but we would walk out in divine health with a testimony that the stripes of Jesus Christ literally enveloped me and wrapped around me on this Wednesday night, and I was made whole. This verse alone teaches us that God wants us healthy and prosperous. John would repurpose this same verse, basically, words it a little different. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. You run it backwards, soul prospers, salvation. Be in health, that's your body. And prosper, that means all of your needs met. That is the will of God for every one of you. And shame on every preacher that robs you of that promise and steals that hope, because that's what God has promised us. Satan fights your healing in every arena of your life. He'll do it in so many ways. He does it through your mind. He does it through the voice of your friends. He does it through the voice of your brothers and sisters. He does it through your family. And God help us, he'll even do it through your preacher. The devil will use any voice and any avenue he can to try to steal your health. Healing was bought, paid for, and appropriated at Calvary. By his stripes, we were healed. We are healed. Healing flows from Calvary, but it flows through our minds and must be confessed with our mouth. Proverbs 23 and 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. What does your heart say? Your heart says, I am old and sick. Your heart says, I am pain. I'm in limitation. I've got this kind of disease. My doctor told me I had it. My mama told me my grandpa had the same thing. You hear voice after voice after voice reinforcing illness and sickness in your body. It affects your mind, but you've got to get it in your heart. I am healed all the day long by the blood of Jesus, by the stripes of Jesus Christ. God is greater than any sickness or disease. God is greater than your grandma's philosophy. God is greater than your doctor's report. Whose report are you going to believe? The Bible said, I am healed by his stripes. Hallelujah. You got to get it in your mind. You have to purge your mind of doubt and fear and input and things that people have told you. It's hard to do when you watch the news and you listen to people all the time talking about disease and sickness and illness. If you are not very careful, you succumb to the philosophy of the day rather than the eternal truth of the Word of God. And that is, God is your Savior. God is your healer. His power is in this room right now. And God, as I speak, is walking around this crowd just like he did in the Bible, where the multitude had gathered, and he's saying, will you be made whole? You don't have to wait for an altar appeal on the back row or the front row or somewhere in between. You can lift your faith to God, and you can feel the hot, searing stripes of Jesus Christ back, and know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God has entered your bloodstream, that God has touched your lungs, that God is in your tendons and your muscles, and God is in your eyeballs and your eardrums, and God is in your heart, and God is in your bones. I tell you today, if we will believe the Word of God, there's a healer in the house. He's in this room right now. I say to you, be healed, be made whole, be healed right where you stand, be made whole. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody that's been diagnosed with glaucoma, I'm telling you right now that God is healing your eyes. God is touching you in the name of Jesus. Somebody in this building that's got a grandchild that's not even here that has been diagnosed as having sickle cell, God is using you as the grandparent to take on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the next time you hug your grandbaby, that sickle cell is going to be destroyed and cast out of your grandchild, and you're going to be a miracle worker in the name of Jesus. Can you give God the praise for that? Hallelujah! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, how are you doing? Well, I hadn't been doing too good, but I've been to the doctor, and he's given me some pills. He gave me a vaccination. He gave me some things to do, and I believe I'm feeling better. Why would we say that when we won't say that about the Lord? How are you doing? Well, I've been attacked by the devil, but I've been to church, and they prayed for me, and I know I'm doing better. I know the Word of God is not going to return void. What God said is going to come to pass in my life. I'm going to be a walking, talking miracle, praise God. God's doing it right now to somebody in this building in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. David said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Was that rheumatism or arthritis or something else? I don't know what it was. But he said, when I stayed silent, my bones waxed old. But when I opened my mouth and began to praise God, oh, friend, you got to get it in your mind. You got to know that Jesus is your healer. He's the same healer as he is a Savior. Cancer is no match for him. Diabetes is no match for him. He is greater, but you got to begin to talk it. I am healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. How many people in this building have confessed your salvation and said, well, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. You need to confess your healing just like you do your salvation. I am healed. I am whole. I am made new. And I give praise to Almighty God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. All things that you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. The devil wants to make you afraid. The devil lives in fear. The fear comes by the voice of somebody else. I'm sorry to give you a bad report. You've got cancer, the doctor says, and all of a sudden you're just consumed. you're just consumed. There are a few people in this congregation that have told me about their miracle. And they've told me when their doctor gave them a report, they instantly said, "Doctor, I know that you see what you see, and I know that you're trained, and I know you're a good man. But there's one thing you've left out. I am a Christian, covered by His blood, wrapped around by His stripes. And I rebuke the report, and I'm healed." And some of those same people have lived to go back to that same doctor and him reverse the curse, him reverse the report, and say, "I don't know what happened. I told you that my two phrases I love most is 'I don't know why.'" That means somebody's going to do something good for me when they say that. Or, "I don't know why," or, "I don't understand why it's happening. I know that now it's out of the arena and it's into God's court. It's into God's territory. And God is working that miracle in Jesus' name." The most common barriers we must overcome to receive our paid in full healing. Number one, ignorance. We just don't like that word. We don't like that word. Ignorance. You know what the meaning of that is? That doesn't mean that you're low IQ. Doesn't mean that you come from a stupid culture. It means that you don't have knowledge of that particular. That's all ignorance means, is I don't know. There are so many things that I'm ignorant at. Some of you have tremendous jobs. And if I was to show up to your job and take your place, I would be totally ignorant of it. Doesn't mean I'm stupid. It means I just don't have knowledge of that. And so, when we talk about ignorance, we're talking that people simply do not know. It has been the job of the ministry to pull the gospel apart and to segregate it piece by piece. And so they have made the gospel nothing but one-dimensional, and that's grace. Accept Christ as your Savior, and you shall be filled, you shall be saved, and the grace of God works all. But they have deleted so much out of the gospel. Baptism is a part of the gospel. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is part of the gospel. And also, according to what Isaiah said in chapter 53 and what Peter said, is healing is a part of the gospel. But they will tell you that God doesn't heal anymore. God simply doesn't do that anymore. But I have seen God do it over and over. I've seen God do it over and over. I preached in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And when I got through, a man stood in front of me and he came down and asked to talk to me privately and quietly. He said, "Pastor, I've spent my life making fun of full gospel, spirit-filled, Pentecostal people. I'm a Baptist preacher." He said, "I have denounced you people from my pulpit for 30 years. And he said, "I snuck over here tonight because I went to the doctor, and the doctor said I can't live longer than 3 or 4 months. And he said, I've preached against healing all of my life, and I don't want anybody to know that I'm here, but I'm desperate because I'm dying, and my church doesn't believe in healing." Not bad people, just ignorant of what the Bible said. "By these stripes ye are healed. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Just ignorant of the Word of God. For some reason they have taken that out of the Scripture and relegated it to another time. But oh, praise God, when I laid my hands on that Baptist preacher that night, not only could I feel the healing virtue flow into his body, the baptism of the Holy Spirit came on him. He laid in the floor and spoke in tongues. He stood up to me and said, "Pastor, when you laid your hands on me, it was like somebody had poured hot water over me. I felt God go into my chest cavity." And he said, "I am testifying that I am totally healed. I am totally healed." And he said, "Please don't tell anybody about this," because he said, if my church board finds out that I came here and got filled with the Holy Spirit and got healed, they will fire me from my pulpit." Isn't that sad that a church would do that? You said, "Oh, I don't believe." Oh, yes. When the devil was cast out of the man from Gadara, the Bible said the city came out against Christ. People will get mad about God working miracles if it crosses their religious theology. So he said, don't tell anybody. But they had a late night call-in show in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And one of those old sisters got on that phone, call-in live. And she said, Pastor so-and-so from such and such Baptist church said he came to our church tonight. He got healed. He got baptized in the Holy Ghost. That switchboard lit up on that radio station. They talked all night about it. And the next night, there were several of those Baptist parishioners that came to see what had happened to their pastor. And they, too, got filled with the Holy Spirit. And so people just don't know. They just don't know. It is the will of God to heal you. It is God's will. Preachers deny the scriptures. Or worse yet, preachers teach that sickness is from God to try us or judge. I've heard that all my life from the pulpit. That when you get sick, God has put it on you because there's sin in your life. God is trying to teach you something, or God is judging you. That, my friend, will kill any hope you have of being divinely healed, but is diametrically opposed to the Scripture. James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Friend, I'm going to tell you what. God has not taught me with sickness, cancer, heart attacks. He taught me by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. He said the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. If the Holy Spirit will teach you all truth, why would he use a disease to teach you truth? It's simply not true. And it will destroy your faith. And it will prevent you from getting a miracle of healing tonight. So I want to announce today, if you're in this building with sickness and disease in your body, it did not come from God. It is not judgment. It is not a test. It is not a trial. It is not God trying to show you something. It is an attack of the devil. Or at worst, it is the remnant Adamic nature that is in flesh. But it's not God. Because my God said, you do not cast out the devil by the finger of Beelzebub. In other words, a kingdom can't be against itself. The kingdom of God is about life. The kingdom of God is about health. The kingdom of God is about joy. The kingdom of God is about living forever. It's about eternity with him. Hallelujah. In all of this, there's nobody in this building sicker than Job was. He was sick unto death. He had big old boils all over his body. The Bible said he took a piece of broken pottery and scraped those boils in agonizing pain, and he couldn't get well. But the Bible said in this, in all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. When you get sick and you begin to say, well, I think God's slowing me down. I hear all the time, had a heart attack. Well, I think God was slowing me down so he could talk to me. That is the most idiotic statement a human being can be. He did not slow you down with a heart attack. Do not charge God foolishly. Never give your sickness or your disease a godly name. Your sickness and your disease is a demonic attack from the devil himself. He wants to steal from you and kill you. And so you cannot pray the prayer of faith if you believe that God has smitten you with that disease. You've got to understand that God loves you. God loves you. Hallelujah. I didn't say when my boys were little boys, they did something wrong. Well, I'll fix him. I'll break his arm and he won't ever be able to do that again. That's not the way fatherhood is. And remember, God is our Father. He has not made you sick. And he is not punishing you for something you have done. Your punishment was put on Christ 2,000 years ago. And the Bible said he nailed it to the tree. And the Bible said as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He said he's not sick because he did something or because his parents did something. It is an attack from the devil, but the glory of God is going to be manifest. The healer is in the house right now. He's in this building. And I want you to understand that it is God's number one goal in this service is to come to you and heal your body and you to be able to walk out of this building with a testimony and go home to a friend or a family member and say, I was healed tonight. That glorifies God. Sickness glorifies the devil. Healing glorifies God. God is my healer. My family, Becky and I, Sean, we've been under terrible attack. But God has always healed us. Jaden couldn't speak for 3 or 4 years when she was born. Now she can't quit talking. She talks all the time. She sings all the time. God is her healer. Tyler had a problem with his eyes. Now he's got 20/20 vision. Praise God. Becky's had cancer. I've been attempted to be killed by the devil several times, and we are walking in divine health. God is our healer, and he's your healer right now. So, well, maybe there's something in my way. No, there's nothing in your way. Sin can't get in your way. The devil can't get in your way. I preached to you the other day about 6,000 devils in a man, but they could not keep him from Jesus. There's not a devil in hell that can keep you from getting healed tonight. There's not a sin that you have committed or omitted that will keep you from getting healed tonight. As your faith is, ask in prayer, and whatever you ask in prayer, it shall be done. There's a healer in the house right now. God is here to touch your heart in Jesus' name. God is here to touch your hip right now in Jesus' name. God is here to touch your knee right now in Jesus' name. Believe and you shall receive. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The devil simply doesn't want you to know about healing. He wants to camouflage it and make it so convoluted that you say, well, maybe the reason I'm sick is, and you explain it. If you've got a reason you're sick, you won't get healed. You say, well, it's because of my sin. Well, it's because of this or that. You won't get healed. You've got to come to the conclusion that if you're sick, it is a trespass against property, God's property. You are God's property. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? God wants your body to be divinely healthy. Every once in a while, we have somebody come up with these grounds, and maybe they want to do a little vandalism. If I see them, I don't say, well, you know, they're just expressing their thoughts. No, they're not. They're vandalizing God's property. And when you're sick, the devil is vandalizing God's property. You've got to be able to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. You've got to take the word of God. He sent his word and heal them in the name of Jesus. The number two reason why people don't readily get healed is condemnation or unworthiness. Well, you know, I haven't always done what I ought to do. Nobody has. Nobody has been perfect except Christ. Christ came to call an imperfect people perfect because he would cover them with his blood and his righteousness. And so people are sick and they say, well, the devil said you deserve to be sick. Something in your life you did. You haven't always been faithful. I had a woman in the old building. I've shared this so many times because it shocked me. As I like to say, it shocked me to my Sunday school roots. A little woman stood in our altar. She told me what church she went. She told me her pastor's name. And she said, I've got cancer. And I know why I got cancer. She said, I go to such and such a church right down here. And said, I knew why I had cancer. And my pastor told me I was exactly right. She said, I'm a single mother, and I got short on money. And I took my tithing, And I bought my children some shoes, and I got them in school. But that was God's tithing, and I stole it. And so God gave me cancer. Now, that's the kind of theology the Western church has embraced. No, God didn't give you cancer because you didn't tithe. I'm mad at you about it, but that don't matter. No, I don't know whether you did or not. God doesn't give you cancer because you fail. But it's one of the devil's chief weapons to keep you from getting healed, is to condemn you. If you can trace your sin up to your sickness, you'll never be healed. If you can link those two, you'll never be healed. But friend, when I trace my sin, I always run head on into the foot of the cross. And when I get to the foot of the cross, I look up, and there are the stripes wound about his back. And I say, praise God. I was trying to figure it up the other day just for our interest. I think Pastor Beck and I have given over $1 million to the work of God since we've been married. But when I get sick, I don't ever get a balance sheet and wave it in the face of God. I don't ever tell God, I've been to so many thousand Sunday morning services. Friend, when I feel like I'm being attacked with a sickness, I do one thing. I plead the blood. I speak about the stripes of Jesus Christ. And when the devil condemns me, I say, devil, you are a liar and the father of it. If the devil condemns you, that means he's got to say something bad about you. And he is the father of all liars, the Bible said. And so if the devil says it about you, it ain't true. Because truth is not in him, and he can't say truth. So if the devil condemns you, he's condemning you with a lie, and don't you believe it. He is a liar. You're not what he said you were. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And God wants you standing up straight and walking in faith and healing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible teaches us that we are not to be condemned or to feel unworthy. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. And let me hurry to my last point. I didn't get to finish that point, but this is so important. The third is the timidity of petition. What does that mean? Timid in petition. Timid in asking. And the devil wants you to be that way. The devil wants you to be timid before your God. The devil wants you to be fearful in front of your God. The devil wants you to be so inhibited that you won't ask what you need in front of your God. But listen to what the Scripture says, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then we have a great high priest. We have a high priest. Somebody said, do you have priest in the Christian church? No, we don't. Say, well, they do in certain denominations. We don't have priests because he wouldn't have anything to do, because we have a high priest. We have a high priest, and his name is Jesus Christ. Friend, can you imagine that everybody, the thousands of people that come to Living Way Church and call this home, if they had to get in touch with Pastor Brandon or myself, every time they missed the will of God or sinned, it would be an impossible task for them and us. But friend, we have a high priest, that when you sin, you confess it to him. And just like that, it's under the blood. So we don't have a high priest like that. We have one that has passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but has been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friend, when you get ready to be healed, don't come timidly before God and say, I know I don't deserve it. And I know I probably won't get it. And I know it's not your will to heal everybody. All of that garbage the devil puts in our mind where we can't pray the prayer of faith. but come boldly to the throne of grace. It's what I love about that scripture. It doesn't say come boldly to the throne of God. It says come boldly to the throne of grace. In other words, come boldly to the throne of unmerited favor. I'm going to get healed, not because in my flesh I deserve it. I'm going to be healed because Christ purchased it. And I come in the name of Jesus. I'll never come in the name of Billy Graham. I'll never come in the name of T.D. Jakes. I won't even come in Steve Fender's name. I won't say, Lord, you know how many sermons I've preached and how many hours I've prayed and what I've done. None of that is currency in heaven. But praise God, when I am sick, I say, Jesus.